some really fun things. So I realize a lot of times I get to talk and I go different places at different times, but it'll all be in the Word. And so we're just going to talk about what I started last session. Remember, we talked about Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. This says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Well, growing up, I had read that scripture and I knew about it. It just didn't make sense to me because it looked like to me that all these things did happen. The strong one, you can't beat the strong one. I mean, you can't beat the smarter one. You can't beat the rich one. You can't do all of that. So how can I ever get to being that? But then when you read it in the Bible, it's saying that's not the way it happens. It's like, you know, I mean, how many how many multi-millions of dollars every year are lost and changes hands because people betting on the best team? And guess what? That day, they don't win. It cost them everything. You know, it cost people lots and lots of money. In every situation in life, when you look at this, you've got to see that just because there's a lot of folk that's had some really good ideas that should have made a lot of money, and the thing crashed. A lot of people that thought, well, I'm smart. I know how to operate in business. It didn't work, okay? So that's the thing about it. The Lord wants us to see here, there is something that's taking place. Now, that's not to say that the strong shouldn't work out to be strong or that the smart shouldn't endeavor to be smart. Why? Because it does help in this life. But the situation is, you got to understand, what he said was, time and chance happeneth to all. Well, that's available to anybody and everybody. Now, for us, it's a different situation because our time and our chances, what we're talking about, are things the Lord has provided for us. Now, we realize we're living in a world that there are systems out there, and when people operate in the systems, a lot of those things can take place, and that's why it says this. But what he's saying to us from the Word of God is this: just because it's that way doesn't mean it's going to work that way this time. Now, for us, there's a different situation. When it says time and chance happeneth to all people, let me tell you now, you know I am not a Greek or Hebrew scholar. I do like to look things up and find them and see what they say because, you know, someone told me not long ago, they said, do you realize that the Hebrew word for Jesus, the Alpha, the Omega, he said the Alpha and the Omega, but he was using Greek when he said that. The Hebrew word for that is the word Aleph Tav, Aleph Tav, the beginning and the end, first and the last. It's Jesus, okay? In the Old Testament, in the original writing of the Old Testament, every few words that are written, that were translated, that you and I read all the time, every few words that were written, the word Aleph Tav is in there. It never got translated. Over 8,400 times in the Old Testament, the word Aleph Tav. So when people say, well, the word Jesus ain't in the Old Testament, you need to go back and find out what it's really saying. Because in that, every few words that someone was showing me the other day, in the beginning God created Aleph Tav, the earth and the world. And then it goes on and it says Aleph Tav. Then what is it doing? There's not a spot. See, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was the life of men, and that life was the light of men, okay? So when you see that, you think, there might be stuff in there I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there we don't know. That's why we look for the meanings. We know it says this, but we want to know what it means. So I just thought that one that I left off impressed me. I thought 8,400 times. And they thought it was such the ribbon of the Bible that they didn't translate it. They just left it there. But when you read in those original scriptures, you'll see it's there all the time. All right? Now, having said that, looking at certain words in the Bible, you're going to find out that they mean, it's like one of the scriptures as a kid I remember reading about the gifts of the Spirit, that God divideth to every man severally as he will. Well, severally to us means more than one, severally, okay? Well, come to find out that when that was translated, that word severally there is a word that means individually. So God divides these gifts individually to everybody as he will, all right? So when you look at these things, it makes all the difference in the world to find out what, not just what it says, but what it means, all right? So I want to go to the book of Ruth, and I want to show you something that has been one of my favorites for a long time. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel. Okay. Well, you'd think I could find it easier than that. There we go. That was not it. Well, what I'm turning there for, I'm not going to read much of it, but I'm going to tell you what it says. Okay. In the book of Ruth, Ruth was a young lady that married a Jewish guy. And because of the famine, because of the way it was in the land. Now, this family, that her mother-in-law's name was Naomi. Now, they had money, but when this famine hit, they went into a heathen country, not a Jewish country, but they went into a heathen country, and that's where they lived. It was Naomi and her husband, her two sons, which were Jewish, and their two wives that they got in that heathen country. Well, the horrible thing that happened was the father died and both the sons died. Jewish people don't do well outside their homeland. Okay, that's the way it is. All right, so Naomi was thinking, okay, I can't live here. I have to go back because I actually did have land there. I had, it's indebted now, but I can go back. Well, one of her daughter-in-laws, and I should know the other daughter-in-law's name, but I forgot what it was. Anyway, she had Ruth and her other daughter-in-law. And Naomi said, I'm going back to Israel. And so they said, well, we're going back with you. And she had a talk with them. She said, girls, you know, what are you going to do? Wait for me to have two more boys for y'all to grow up and marry? That's not going to happen, okay? So y'all need to stay here in your country, marry, make a good life, da, 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 da. So the one girl she convinced to do that stayed there. But Ruth told her, she said, no, you're my mother-in-law, and where you go, I go. Where you live, I live. Your country will be my country. And then she said this, and your God will be my God. So she picked Ruth, Naomi's God. Well, when they went back to the country, of course, they were poor. They had nothing. They were living off the goodness of other people. But here's something that took place. Look at this. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth said, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after them, or him, in whose name I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go. Go, my daughter. Now, here, what did take place? The poor people, they had no land, they had no nothing, anything. The only way they could live was off the kindness of other people giving. So what they would do, the last row of each field, they would let that remain. And at the end of the day, after the gatherers had gathered all the food, the poor people in town would come and gather off of that. And that's what they would have to go by. That was just the way it was done, the way they took care of it. So in this, from the way it's reading and the way it's showing, there were these fields, and you didn't know who exactly which field belonged to who. And so when Ruth started to go out, she told her mother, mother-in-law, and Ruth, and she went out and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was in light of the part of the field, to light in part of the field that belonged unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now see, she didn't know which field belonged to Boaz, but she was depending. She told her mother-in-law, if perhaps I can find the right field to be at, that they'll let me do that. Well, when she did that, the Bible says, I remember when I was a little kid reading this, and I thought, and I asked someone, I said, what is it? It said her hap was. What does her hap? Well, let me tell you what I was told then as a kid. Oh, that just means it happened. It just happened. I said, oh, okay. Because that's, well, hap. We got our word happened from that. And I got that. So I thought, okay. Never thought much about it. Years went by, ladies and gentlemen. Years went by. And finally one day I heard somebody preaching this right here. Now, here's what took place in order. This young lady was going to gather in this field. Well, sure enough, guess what? It just happened that she picked the field that belonged to Boaz. So they let her pick the grain off the ends of the field. Well, Boaz saw her, and he asked who she was. And they said, well, she is of Naomi's daughter-in-law, whose husband died. They're back here now, and they're having... Well, Boaz knew exactly who that was because he was kin to her. So he told the guys, he said, okay, hey, don't any of you guys touch her. You leave her alone. You let her do that. In fact, you take the grain, extra handfuls of grain, and you put it right in where the aisle where she is working. So he did that all day. Well, at the end of the day, when she went home with what she grained, usually they could gather enough for each day, and they had to go back every day. But because of what Boaz had these guys do, now Boaz represents Jesus, okay? Boaz had these guys do, when she came in her sack, she had over a month's worth of grain in one day. Well, when her mother-in-law Naomi saw that, she realized what was going on. So she told her, not go anywhere else, you stay in that one, because this guy is, he's kin to us. This is our kinsman redeemer. He is allowed to do something about our situation. So she did that, but look, when it says hap, that hap just doesn't, it's where we got our word happen, but that's not what it meant. It meant was God had a specific pointed place in time for her to receive her blessing. And it was called, that's why it says her hap was, her specific place of appointment and time happened to be. That's it, right there. That's the one the Lord appointed in that. Well, the story goes on and the account tells you what happens to her. She continues to work in the fields there or the edge, continues to do. Her mother-in-law told her what to do. Her mother-in-law knew. She said, Boaz likes you. He's taking a liking to you. So here's what you need to do. you need to, and told her what to do as far as Jewish custom and how everything upright, and so she did. So what happened was she went, and when the owner and all the workers went to sleep in the bin that night, and they laid down, Jewish law said if she laid, she would lay down and went to sleep at his feet. Nothing inappropriate, just laid down at his feet. He woke up during the night and saw that she was there and realized what she was saying is, you are my kinsman redeemer. I can be taken as part of your family, all that type thing. Well, she goes home, tells her mother-in-law what she did. And I could read it to her for you, but let me just say it to you. Boaz knew what was going on. He saw this girl. I don't know how many days, weeks, whatever had gone by here. Harvest isn't that long. But here's what took place. Her mother told her, her mother-in-law said, Ruth said, all right, so what do I do now? And Naomi said, nothing. And she said, what? She said, nothing. She said, what you've done right there is enough. And I'm going to tell you what, you just stay, keep doing what, don't do anything. But I'm going to tell you this, that man will not rest till he takes care of this situation. And he didn't. The next day, Boaz, first thing he did was he went to the city gates to offer to pay the debt and everything for Naomi and Ruth and all of them, okay? He had one kinsman there that was more kin to them, and he said, I'll take them. And Boaz said, well, okay, but you got to take both of them, and you got to have an inheritance for them, and you got to do this. And the guy said, oh, no. I said, I can't do that. I'm not going to give an inheritance to them. He said, all right, so I'll take them. Well, from that, what took place was Boaz married Ruth. End up, she's what, the great-grandmother of David? And her name is one of the five names of women in the genealogy of Jesus, okay? Because of her hap. Now, I don't know that I'll get to finish much of this today, but here's what we're going to start talking about. This hap, this is an appointed place and time. And if I looked at it, I think it was used at like 38 or 40 different times in the Old Testament. That word hap was there. And like me, as a kid, when I said, what does it say mean where when it says her hap was? And someone just said, oh, it just means it happened. It just happened. You know how stuff happens. It just happened. That was what was said to me. But it wasn't what was in the Bible. What it was is an appointed place, an appointed time. So all the way through that Old Testament, you're going to find appointed places and appointed time. Okay? That God made something happen. All right? When Noah was in the ark, and they were sending, remember he was sending the birds out to see when the water was going down? That last time when that bird came back with that olive branch in its mouth, it talks about the hap. That was the time, the appointed time to let them know what was taking place there. The ark was sitting on Mount Ararat. Mount Ararat, the two words put together means the curse is reversed. Okay? Appointed place, appointed time. That's what the Lord did. Appointed place, appointed all through. And He did that as examples for us. Now, you're going to find that word when you study it. The word hap, the word chorus, quara, the word chorus, just different words that you're going to find that Hebrew put in there. Now, I looked this up. You know how you check the stuff on Google? Well, it took me to all kinds of religious ideas of what that hap. Every one of us has appointed haps, appointed places and times, okay? In all of that. it took me to different Bible scholars explaining what that meant in the Old Testament. And it was so funny, because when I looked at the Jewish understanding today, and again, some of the Jewish understanding, this one Jewish translator or scholar, whatever, his explanation of that word quora, hap, that time, was just simply, well, it means everything. Yes, it could have been an appointed place or appointed time, or it could just be any time, any sort, whatever. Okay, and when I read that, I thought, okay, I'm reading from someone here who doesn't have the revelation of what God wants to do for His people. Because that you can plainly see it in the Old Covenant. But this one wanted, because ours depends on Jesus and they don't, it wasn't going to be connected with Him. So it was just, it could be an appointed place and time that God brought, or it might not be. It might just be a happenstance or whatever. And so I just kept looking at four or five different translators in there, and I did find one Jewish translator that declared it as that appointed place, specific time, specific place. And I thought, okay, this one has an understanding more of the God of the Old Covenant than the one, because see, God can be turned into a religion real quick. And when I was reading what that guy said, I thought, wow, oh, what he sees is, oh, it could be God, it might not be God. Okay? I had, when we were in Israel all those many years ago, we had a guide. He was Syrian, but he was supposedly a Christian. And every place he led us to tell us about what Jesus had done, nearly everything he would bring up was no longer a miracle. I remember when he said, oh, this is where the fish came up with money in his mouth that Jesus taught. That happened all the time. Fish would see shiny things at the bottom of the water and they would pick it up and they would have it. And I thought, okay, we'd see more things that he said, explaining it away. Guys, the Bible is a book of faith. There are so many powerful, wonderful opportunities. You and I can understand, and we'll get to this in the next session that we do. We need to understand that God has appointed places and appointed times for your blessing, your increase, your provision, everything else. But it's according to your faith, be it unto you. See, if you're one of those people that, oh, that just happens, then you're not going to be able to receive the power of that miraculous opportunity that the Lord has for you. And people don't understand, well, how come they get that? They believe. They read this Bible. When they read this Bible, they see these things. The revelation of what the Lord has done comes alive to them. And then they believe. It's like when you realize that by His stripes you were healed. You think, wait, He blesses my bread and water, takes sickness from the midst of me. See, all these things. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. That's why we talk faith all the time. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that haven't been seen materialized yet. But faith says He did it there. He can do it now. He will do it now. So we're going to, in the next session or two, we're going to talk more about the hap and all that thing and how it works for us now. But this great example of this Old Testament, that one right there, her hap was. And as a little boy growing up in church, my spirit grabbed hold of that part that said her hap was. And I thought, what does that mean? I had to have someone explain it away for me. Okay? If they hadn't explained it away for me, I might have known earlier. But I believe that because, okay. It just means happen. It just means happen. But that isn't what it meant. It meant right place, right time. There's nothing more powerful than being in the right place at the right time. For Ruth, it changed history. Okay? It didn't just get her delivered from her debt and restored into the position that she... It took it all the way into where she's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right place, right time. And we're going to get to see some of it in the Old Testament and then look in the New Testament and see really what it means for us just here in the next session or two. But think about that. A little boy, by the Spirit, I didn't know anything really much about the Bible, but the Spirit grabbed hold of that when I heard that. And it said, and her hap was. And I thought, what does that mean? And even though I didn't get it explained to me there, years later, I got the understanding of it. Now I get to believe every day of my life for the right place, right time. Good things happen. You know, Oral Roberts, remember how he would say, something good is going to happen to you today? Well, that comes from your Heavenly Father having me and you all the time, right place, right time. Coming from that hap, that quora, that position that He's placed for you, okay? So anyway, I know you're going to enjoy this. I have enjoyed ministering it. I have enjoyed reading about it. I have enjoyed watching my faith grow in hearing what the Lord's done for us in that. But think about that. There's word in the Bible that you didn't even know was there, probably. I didn't, for sure. 8,400 times that talks about our Jesus. And it had to be revealed unto me before it ever did me any good. So that's the coolest thing. Anyway, guys, we love you and we appreciate you so much. Come back and be with us next time when we get into this. And remember this, if you're not having fun serving Jesus, you're doing it wrong. We'll talk to you later, okay? We love you. Y'all come see us. Bye.